प्रभुपाद की जाए। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this is Canto 10, Chapter 4, verse, actually, the atrocities of King Kamsa, verse number 30. So, akanya bhartu gaditam. Akarnya bhartu gaditam. Akarnya bhartu gaditam. Tamucho deva shastra vaha. Devam prati kritam marsa. Daitaye nati kovidaha. Akarnya bhartu gaditam. Tamucho deva shastra vaha. Devam prati kritam marsa. Daitaya nata kovitaha. Akarnya bhartu gaditam. Tamucho deva shastra vaha. Devam prati kritam marsa. Daitaya nati kovitaha. Ladies, Akarnya, after hearing bar two of their master, Gaditam, the words or statement, Tam Uchu replied to him, Deva Satravaha, all the Asuras who were the enemies of the demigods, Devan, the demigods, prati, towards, rikrita amarsaha, who were envious, daiteya, the asuras, na, not, Atikovidaha, who were very expert at executing transactions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Kamsa has just been thwarted by his, by Durgadevi herself, and now he's become a little sober, but then he's back to his demoniac plans again. So now he's approaching his ministers and he's telling them what needs to be done. So he just told them what the situation is, that Krishna's born and we have to destroy him somehow. So now his ministers are listening, and this is a narration of what happens. After hearing their master's statements, Kamsa, the envious asuras, who were enemies of the demigods and who were not very expert in dealings, advised Kamsa as follows. Now they're going to speak to Kamsa what they feel is should be done. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are two different types of men, the asuras and the suras. Deva Bhuta Sago Loka Smin Daiva Sura Eva Cha Vishnu Bhakti Smito Daiva Asurayata Viparyaya. It's from the Padma Purana. Those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu Krishna are suras or devas, whereas those who are opposed to the devotees are called asuras. Devotees are expert in all transactions. Yasyasti Bhakti Bhaktir Akinchina Savagamastatra Samastate Sura. Therefore, they are called Kovida, which means expert. Asuras, however, although superficially showing expertise in passionate activities, are actually all fools. They are neither sober nor expert. Whatever they do is imperfect. Mogaisya Moga Karmana. According to this description of the asuras given in Bhagavad Gita 9.12, whatever they do will ultimately be baffled. It was such persons who advised Kamsa because they were his chief friends and ministers. Umagyan Timidandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally explains the two types of men and what are their qualities, characteristics, and activities. In the first three verses, he talks about saintly men and lists their characteristics and qualities, which are quite numerous. But he doesn't go beyond that. From verse 4, he introduces his next topic, and from onward, the whole chapter is about the demons. Who they are, what they think, what are their activities, and what are their so-called qualities and characteristics. So in that description we find, you know, they're unclean, they're always, they don't know what to do or what not to do. That's one of the verses. They always act based on their own selfish desires, and therefore, as Prabhupada says in this, they think they're expert, but they're quite foolish. And everything they do in due course of time is undone. Because they are acting against the will of the Lord, and they usually cause not usually, always, cause harm to other living entities. So this feature of two types of personalities is an eternal feature. There will always be demons. And there will always be godly. It's the question of how many. It's the question of how many. In this age of Kali, the proportion is greater on the demonic side. Or people who are influenced by demonic characteristics and qualities, or lifestyles. The demons are very expert in putting out propaganda about how you should live life, and how you should live life is eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy your senses to the utmost, and give us as much money as you can, because that's what you're for, to support our desires. So the demons are like that. They have no good habits. They're always unclean. They're always prone to cause destruction and harm to themselves and others. And they make big plans in order to stockpile weapons and also to use those weapons. As Prabhupada said when he was in one discussion talking about demons and devotees. And the devotees were explaining how the different countries are now getting the nuclear bombs. And so one country after another, first was America, then it was Russia, and then it was Pakistan came later, China. And gradually now, mostly every country, many countries have nuclear weapons. So the devotees said, but because they know how destructive it is, and because they know their enemies have them, they will not use it. It's like a standoff. Because you have it and I have it, therefore we won't use it, because we know we'll both suffer. Prabhupada completely destroyed that argument. He said, if they create it, they'll use it. He said, this is the history. So they have been stockpiling weapons for a long time, and more now, arsenals all around the world. Someday we'll use it, and they're ready to use it any time. And that's just the way they think. They don't care. And the demons don't care, and they have their plans to survive amongst all this holocaust that they create. In fact, they look forward to that. They're waiting for the right time. And this is their plans, and innocent people are exploited. And innocent people have to suffer because of that. So Prabhupada, this is a constant or eternal battle between asura and asura, devasura, devas and asura. It goes on in the heavenly planets. Sometimes people aspire for a better material situation beyond this world. This is Swargaloka, the place of Indra, with the heaven planets. People have a chance to live very long lives. Their bodily features are very strong, and they have very great quality abilities to enjoy sense gratification way beyond what we do. And the quality of their sense gratification will look like our sense gratification is just another form of suffering. They have the ability to enjoy much greater than we do. But Prabhupada said, although in the heavenly planets, everything is materially nice, there's always fights between the demons and the demigods. That goes on. Just like we hear, Krishna appeared on this planet at the time when the world was overburdened with demoniac forces. So at that time, Krishna advented. So what was the history that brought all these demoniac forces all over the world? It's interesting, it goes back thousands of years before that, when Parasuram, who was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was on earth, and he came to destroy the evil kings who were ruling the world. So with his axe, he destroyed 21 generations of Kshatriyas, who were all envious and proud and exploiting the people. So after that, the whole world was practically rid of Kshatriyas. There wasn't any real rulers. So it became a problem after Parasuram did his service. So now what to do? So saintly persons who were there got together and decided, along with the royal class that were still on the earth, what should we do to bring about saintly rule? All the Kshatriyas have been destroyed. So they made an interesting plan. The sages are in the mode of goodness, and the Kshatriyas, or those who are born in that, are somewhat affected by the mode of passion. So they decided to unite the women of the Kshatriya clan with the sages and produce Rajarsis, or great saintly kings. And so that was done. The sages made this great sacrifice so they can bring about a population of saintly kings. And then, again, the world was... It took many hundreds and hundreds of years. But again, the world again was ruled by saintly kings. This is in the Mahabharata. But then a big fight broke out in the heavenly planets between the Asuras and the Suras. And the Asuras were looking for some place that they could use as a base to fight the demigods. So they chose Earth. And what they did, they took birth in all species of life, and even lower species of life, and in human life. And again, they overcome the Earth. And that is where you see, when Kamsa was there, and he was sending so many of these demons, Agasura, Bakasura, and Palumbasura. These were all these demons that were on earth during the time of Kamsa. They were powerful. They were not friends of Kamsa. They were actually just demons. Kamsa, he actually destroyed, or not destroyed, but defeated each one of them and made those demons his servants. That's why he was able to send all these demons to Vrindavan to try to kill Krishna. But, of course, no one can kill Krishna. Krishna is God. And so, now, you had this situation on Earth where all the demons had again taken over the Earth after hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, actually. And then it says that the demigods were disturbed, and therefore they went to the milk ocean and prayed. We hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam they offered beautiful prayers, Purusha Shukta prayers, to Shiradakshai Vishnu, along with Brahma, Indra, and all the demigods. And at that time, Krishna agreed to advent, and he came. So then you see, here we are. This is where we are in this part, and all the demons are here. And now Krishna is on earth, and he's about to unfold his mission. And they're worried. Kamsa was killed in his previous life by an incarnation of the Lord, Nrisingadev. And so now he's worried that he's going to be killed again. And that was the prophecy, because he heard when his sister, Devaki, was going to be married, or was married to actually Vasudev, was on the wedding day. And Kamsa, being the brother, was thinking, oh, I should do some service for my sister, it's her wedding day. So he decided to drive the chariot to their place of residence. But what happened? He hears a voice, "You fool, Kamsa. You don't know, but the eighth child of your sister will be the cause of your death." So then, being a demon and not considering anything but his own interest, he was about to kill his own sister. Says Prabhupada makes this point in many lectures. He says the demons will do anything. And after he says that, he says anything to make the point. They'll kill everybody, even their family members, friends, anyone for their own selfish interests. That's demons. So you might say, well, how do we know who's a demon, who's not a demon? You don't see the big demons anymore around. We have a lot of little demons that are running around here making policies, but they're not really much of a threat. There are big demons who are working from other planets to try to destroy this planet right today. And they're using their agents on this earth to try to capture more and more of the resources. That's the whole demonic plan. They have so much money. They don't need money. What is a demonic malleability? Control. They want to control everything. Just like now, they know everything about you. The government knows everything about you. That's fun. They know all, they have all these records and they have all these systems, and they're always asking for more information so they can get more and more. And so their idea is to control, and then there's trying to, now they're trying to do this political thing of bringing the countries into a larger block. You know, you have the North American block, you have the Asian block, you have the, they did it in Europe, they call it, they made it one currency, euros. So they're going to have five blocks, and then after they get five blocks of different lands, then they're going to merge them gradually into one. This is their overall plan, and then they want to rule the whole world. That's their whole process. So it's going on today. But you don't even know who they are. They're powerful persons who have great, great influence in politics and government and in every area of society, and they influence policies through that. Just like you watch the news is simply propaganda. What goes on in the news is not really what's happening. They put out what they want, what you want to see. That's all. It's not real stuff. The real stuff goes on behind the scenes. And then, you know, they give you a little bit of the truth, but it's just a little token of what's actually happening. So this is the demon. So Krishna has invented as Chitta Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as Krishna came 5,000 years ago to destroy this, you know, demoniac influence that was on the earth, 5,000, Krishna's come again 432 years ago? Yeah. To again destroy the demons. And this is the Sankirtan movement. So Lord Chaitanya has come with the weapons. Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishna Sangupanga Saparshitam Yagnai Sankirtana Praya Jantihi Sumedha Saha. So in that verse it mentions that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, but he's Tvasa Krishna. He's not black. He has a different form. His form is golden. He's called Gauranga. And he's come with his weapons, his associates, and to bring about a revolution of God consciousness all over the earth. So that is this Krishna consciousness movement. We have been chosen by Lord Chaitanya, or anyone who comes into this movement, to be his assistant to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, to push back this demoniac influence. And you see, today, the devotees are in a small number and the demons are in a small number. The majority of the people are in between. They're innocent, but they're influenced in the wrong way. So, but what is happening in Kali Yuga, because of the influence of the demons, people are going from one side to the other. So these two end groups, us and the demons, are becoming bigger. People are either going more degraded, or people are running to the saintly side and becoming more interested in spiritual life. It's happening on both sides. So the margin or the majority is starting to move one side or the other. So this will continue, and then what will happen, I sound like I know everything, but I know a few things. What will happen is that the demons will get so powerful and they'll start to fight against each other, and they'll use their bombs and destroy each other, and the planet will go through hell for a while. And then the devotees will be there. Devotees won't be doing anything but helping people out during the war. And after that, what will happen is that preaching will be really good. And then Lord Chaitanya's movement will really take off. After the next war. So Prabhupada said the next war is between demons and demons. Because they're envious of each other. They can't get along. They may make an agreement with each other for a little while, and then it breaks after some time, and then they always fight against each other for whatever policy they make. So, therefore, the devotees, what is our job? We're trying to save as many souls as possible. Trying to bring as many people to Krishna consciousness so that they don't have to be affected by this influence of the demonic. And everyone's influenced by them. just like advertising. Advertisement is demoniac. It's a demoniac principle. They create the idea that you need this, even though you don't need it. They have to come up with some ideas, slogans, and arrangements to make it sound like you have to buy this product, and if you don't, you're not up, you're not with it, you really can't really make it in this world. So this idea of advertising, and how do they do it? It's usually some nice girl there to make sure you read the billboard or whatever ad. They actually study how you spend your money. And they have people studying your spending mood, and then they bombard you with the same idea, so you buy more and 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 more. So this is going on in the name of civilization, progress, like that. It's all about them becoming more powerful and them controlling the world more and more. That's all it is about. Communism failed. Why did communism fail? They tried it with communism. It failed. Why? Because when you suppress people, people revolt. You can't force people by suppressing them. So what they have, they realize that's why they destroyed this idea of communism. It's still there and here and there. But now their program is get people so hooked on sense gratification that they become stupid. And they can't organize and they can't get together and just sell them a bunch of stuff. Just keep them pacified through various types of entertainment and forms of different types of sense enjoyment. And that way we can control them easily. We got them. Smart. Was one Italian communist during World War II. He wrote about that. He said communism will never work if you suppress them. Give them everything in the form of sense gratification and you got them. No problem. So that's what's happening today. More and more junk on the market. More and more things to do. More and more things to buy. More and more things to get involved in. It's in 1850, and we're going back about 170 years ago. In 1850, the amount of products that were available to people on the market, this is 1850 now, this is way back, this is just about the time of the Industrial Revolution, 95% was necessities. So what was available was necessities. 5% was extra. It's reversed now. Everything, so much junk. And they just keep selling, exploiting the earth and trying to get as much money as they can. And the money's useless anyway. It's all paper. They give you some paper. You got some paper. You got nothing. If you don't have gold or precious metal, your paper is worth nothing. At one time, the government will say, okay, that's it. Paper's no good. Prabhupada gives a whole hour lecture about the uselessness of the money today. And he talks about the history of how money has evolved from precious metals now to this paper currency. They used to put, you know, you could change this into gold, but you can't do that anymore. It's just a piece of paper, that's all. I got more paper than you, I'm richer than you. I mean, for now it has some spending power, so, but in itself it's worthless. It's backed by zero. They say backed by gold, try cashing it in for gold. You won't get anything. Now you have all these shops all over the country. We will buy your gold. Bring gold. Because they want gold. They know gold is valuable. Precious metals is, what is wealth? Precious metals, land. If you have property, you have wealth. If you're renting, you got nothing. Buy your house, and then you have some equity. And if you can, live simply and have some cows, grow your own food, then you have something. Otherwise, you have nothing, really. You're just living by whatever the government throws at you. And then, basically, you have pretty much, you're simply a puppet in whatever policies they make, like that. But if you have land, And if you have livestock, cows, you have something, you have some value there. That's equity, and it's sustainable too. It's sustainable. So the demons are trying whatever they can to somehow or other control the whole world like that. And the devotees know that if we simply propagate the chanting of the holy names in every town and village, we can push back the influence of demonic. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is empowered by God itself. He's come to bring a whole revolution in God consciousness all over the world. And he's asking us to help him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in chapter 9 of Adi Lila, Lord Chaitanya is begging us. He says, I am a gardener, and I have stockpiled a whole warehouse full of wonderful fruits. And these are fruits of love of God. And I am tasting these fruits, and these fruits are very sweet. And I want to distribute these fruits to everyone so they can also taste the sweetness of these fruits. But I'm only one person. So please, help me. Take the fruits, enjoy it yourself, give it to others. So he's asking us to be an instrument for his mercy to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Like that. And when we do that, we actually get special mercy. Prabhupada says, when you preach, even if you don't have much success, simply by your efforts, Krishna will recognize you. He says, if you want to be recognized by Krishna, preach Krishna consciousness. Or do something that will be an effort to bring others closer. Sometimes we call it preaching, sometimes we call it outreach. But it's really a mood of wanting to help others. It may take different forms like that. Even distributing prasadam or educating people and just be an instrument for his mercy for others. And then Krishna recognize, when you get recognized by Krishna, your whole life is successful. He's recognizing your devotion, but he's more really wants to see, all right, I'm giving you something, now you give that to others. And when you do that, you'll be happy, and you'll make others happy, and I will be very pleased with you. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. So he's encouraging us, spread the Sankirtan movement everywhere. Do it individually, do it collectively, but do it somehow. Otherwise, we will see that if the devotees don't come up to the standards, we will also be more and more affected by the influence of this demoniac wave that is moving throughout the world. And it's moving. It's moving quite strongly. But when we take shelter of Krishna through the holy name and preach, we are protected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, like that. He protects his devotees 100%. There was two devotees. This was in 1973. Maybe you heard this story before. The devotees were asked by Srila Prabhupada to go what was then called East Bengal. And there was a war during that time. And there was a war between, I think it was Pakistan and India. So maybe you heard of that war, 1973, 72. Maybe it was even earlier. So two sannyasis, Brahmananda and Pushtakrishna, were asked by Prabhupada to go. And so they did. Now they're in the midst of this area where there's a lot of fighting going on. And they're doing some preaching and they're having some success. And then Prabhupada is hearing that the war is actually getting worse and it's very dangerous for foreigners to be there. So he starts sending out messages to come back, but he's not getting any response. So he's worried. So he starts praying for the devotees. Now, finally, the messages come by way of others that you guys should leave here. It's dangerous. So they decide to go. And the transportation out of the country wasn't so easy. And so they got on a bus. But the borders were being guarded by the Islamic army, and they were stopping any kind of transport coming out. If they see a person who was not of the Islamic faith, possible enemy, traitor, or somebody, they were killing them. So the bus gets to the border, it stops. The soldiers go on the bus, they see two Hindus dressed in the Hindu garments, and they were dressed like that. They pull them off the bus, and they put them in front of a firing squad. Now they're about to, you know, execute them. And Brahmananda, he gets an inspiration, and he picks his beads. He's got his beads in his hand, and he just puts his beads up in the air, and he says to Krishna, "We're going back to Godhead. Let's just chant. We're going back to Godhead." And he becomes really animated, and he starts chanting loudly. Krishna picks up on it and does the same, and they're both chanting loudly. The soldiers got bewildered. I don't know what they were thinking, but anyway, they decided, then the main man came over and said, "All right, get out of here, go, leave the country." And so when they took shelter of the holy name, there's nothing that could happen to them. Now you might think, will that work for me? Yes. It works for everybody. If you sincerely take shelter of Krishna's holy name, you are free from the influence of the material energy. So that's the understanding. So whatever is out there in the terms of materialism cannot affect the devotee who is under the shelter of, you know, Krishna's holy name, because Krishna's name is prophylactic and antiseptic. Prophylactic means protective, and antiseptic means purifying. So this movement will be spread as much as we can spread the holy name to every town and village. And it's happening. It's slowly, but it's not happening fast enough. It's not happening fast. So it's a race between the demons and the devotees to try to capture as many souls as possible. So you see, this feature of demons and devotees at each other's throat goes back. It's a historical phenomenon. It'll continue to go on. Prabhupada said there will always be demons who will oppose the authority of the Supreme Lord and try to usurp as much of the Lord's property as they can for their own selfish, evil interests like that. So we have a great mission. And if we preach Krishna consciousness and just chant the holy names of the Lord, then honest people will come. People are now looking. I did a class here the other day on Wednesday. About 70, maybe 70 or more students came. And they were all from the Christian background. They came to learn a little bit about Krishna consciousness. Amazing questions. The questions went on for an hour and a half, just the questions. I spoke for about 10 minutes. People are interested. We have something. We got substance. This philosophy cannot be counteracted. It's solid. It's coming from the spiritual world. We also have the holy name, and that is the astra, or the weapon in this age, to push back the demonic influence and to inspire people to come to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said it's chanting the holy names and prasadam. We should flood the world with these two things. If you have money, if you have resources, if you have influence, whatever you do, use those things to bring about people get more opportunities to chant, to get prasadam, to come to programs like that. Then we're doing a great service for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these two things, prasadam and the holy name, of course, there's the philosophy, but how many people can understand this philosophy? Very few. I mean, few people do, and some people take it up, but generally, that's not what sustains them. People are sustained by the happiness they get from chanting Hare Krishna and by the kindness of the devotees. When the devotees go out of their way to show kindness to the conditioned souls, people recognize that these people actually have something and they actually care about us. So the more we get out there, these temples are for simply for a place for people to come, but our business is out there with all the conditioned souls to give them Krishna consciousness as much as we can. And then the more we do that, the more Krishna will empower his devotees to become his instruments to spread Krishna consciousness. Everyone can be empowered. It's not like you have to have a position or you have to have a particular, you know, philosophical ability to speak. None of these things are the qualifications. It's simply your desire. If you have that desire to spread Krishna consciousness, Krishna will show you how to do that in one way or another, like that. So the more we can do that, the more we will also feel satisfied in our practice. And so, and Prabhupada, you know, he said, it's a fight. We have to, he said, Maya, she's not our enemy. Maya's our friend. But because there are demons, Maya must do her service. He makes that statement. Because there's demons, therefore she does her service. Like that. So anyway, so we're hearing more about that here. And Krishna's just a little baby, you know, apparently he's vulnerable to what is happening around him, and everyone's trying to protect Krishna, hide him from Kamsa, like that, but I think, last night in the presentation by Sureshwar, he was saying that when you, Vasudev was, from the mind of Vasudev, his Krishna consciousness went into the mind of Devaki, and from the mind of Devaki came into the heart of Devaki, and from that, Krishna was born. So Krishna is born in each of our existence in our lives when we bring in transcendental knowledge and transcendental activities. And then a person becomes pregnant. It's like almost like conception. What is that conception? Krishna is born in our life. In other words, we actually can experience the presence of Krishna 24 hours a day. He's always with his devotee. We have to bring that knowledge, bring that enthusiasm for chanting more and more and more and more and more. We don't want to be forced to do it. Right now we can say, oh, it's not so bad, things are going on. But as time goes on, you're going to see things are going to crumble. And Prabhupada said, he said that one day people will be dying in the streets by the thousands. You can look it up on the Veda days. And then he also said, this Krishna consciousness movement will save the world from its darkest hour. Like that. So the plan makers, the demons, the politicians, and people who are controlling all these politicians behind the scenes, they're making their plans to somehow or other destroy each other. Like that. Right now there's little wars going on. There's always wars going on. And it's more and more like that. More and more diseases are coming by way of sinful activities. They try to stop disease. Stop sinful activities, you stop disease. It's simply diseases, all these epidemic diseases are simply reactions for sinful activities. That's all. The hospitals are full. People are getting more and more sick. Why? Because they don't know how to live properly. It's just this age is so contaminated with sinful activities that if you're a righteous person, you're actually unusual. Yeah, right? You have to be somewhat cunning and somewhat, like a little bit, well, I don't know what the word is, but you know, you have to be your own man in order to make it. If you're humble and you're out there in the world, people don't really appreciate that so much because you can't get ahead if you're humble. you have to be like I was giving a lecture to a group of Indian businessmen, and This was in Chicago, I think it was about 15 years ago, and one of them said, you know, Maharaj, we're in the workplace, you know, we try to become humble, and they look at us like, you know, this is not going to work here. It's not going to work here. And I said, yeah, this is the environment. So you have to be kind of like, figure out ways to take people's money and have them like you at the same time. So that's the whole program. So we have something wonderful. We have Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the form of this Harinam Sankirtan. It's powerful. It can't be stopped. Prabhupada said this movement cannot be stopped externally. It can only be stopped internally. And that is if we become insincere and we become somewhat lazy in our practice of Krishna consciousness. We need to understand that we have something very valuable. This mercy is very rare, and because we have the mercy, we have a chance to purify our life and go back to the spiritual world. But that's not Lord Chaitanya's movement. Lord Chaitanya's movement says, as Sureshwara was saying last night, by my command, the Guru save the land. Lord Chaitanya made that statement to the Korma Brahma when he was traveling in South India. But that statement was for everyone. That was for everyone. Everyone. He said, everyone. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Whoever you meet, help them understand that their relationship or their happiness is based on their practice of spiritual life. In other words, be an instrument for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And everybody can do it. All you have to have is one thing, desire. And when you have that desire, Krishna will show you through various ways how to fulfill that desire. It's all based on desire. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Yes. I don't run these classes so often, but...
Yeah, it's a wonderful class, Maharaj, actually. Pretty much touching on these social, economic, you know, realities of the world. And there was one thing that you mentioned, that there is going to be a confrontation, there's going to be a conflict, demons against demons, they're going to destroy themselves.
Yeah, you can see they're stockpiling more and more weapons. Pakistan is crazy, you know. It's a crazy country. They have nuclear bombs now. Even the smaller countries are getting weapons like that. Prabhupada said the war will start between Pakistan and India. There's still fighting on the Kashmir border. It's still going on today. Small skirmishes. You don't hear it in the news because that part of the news is blocked out. They don't want you to hear that.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, as the devotees go through all these, you know, things that are going to happen, in one sense, what's the best approach should be sort of not making too much, do your thing, do our Sankirtan business without disturbing or having the demons, you know, being too...
We don't confront them. Our job is simply to try to get as many conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious as possible. So we do that through preaching the philosophy. We do that through prasadam distribution. We do that through various outreach programs, inviting people for festivals. But once we get people to come, we need to develop them and help them become fixed in their practice of Krishna consciousness. Our problem is we're doing a lot of preaching and people are coming, but we don't have a way to really keep them in. We need to have a process to move persons from point A all the way up to point Z. In other words, more and more organized programs of development. So as people progress, they can go from the next stage like that. So bringing people in, educating them, training them, engaging them like that. It's all part of the process. Bring them in. We used to bring people in and then we engage them. But education and training has to be there. Training in the philosophy, education in the philosophy, training in the behavior. What is the etiquette of a Vaishnav? How a Vaishnav acts, thinks, and, you know, interacts. Vaishnav etiquette, Prabhupada said, behavior is more important than philosophy. He made that point. Behavior is more important than the philosophy. Because even if your behavior is not good and you know the philosophy, then it's something else. It's more based on your own interest. So the proper etiquette, we need to teach etiquette, we need to teach philosophy base. Vaishnav culture, the culture of spirituality, which is different than the culture of material life. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole another discussion. Sureshwar, any comment on that? Yeah, that's part of his. Please come to Sureshwar's presentation. This is a landmark presentation. You will not find anything so, what we say, relevant to your spiritual life than what he's presented. It's the most relevant thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something.
This is just one of your examples. You were saying how you can't be humble and make it in the corporate world, for example. Satchinandan Swami tells a story. Before he was a devotee, he tried to get a job in Germany. And the guy said, I'm sorry, I can't hire you. You're too honest. Because Satchinandan Swami, he's like an open book, you know, he's such an open heart.
Yeah.
And then that's what they said. You're very bright, you're very nice, but you're too honest. You're not going to make it in the world of cheaters and cheated.
Yeah. And that's somewhat, what's the word, indicative of what goes on here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. You made a lot of good points. You were mentioning that everything that demons do in due course of time is destroyed. And you also mentioned Lord Chaitanya's chapter, Adilila chapter 9, where he distributes the fruit. One thing I remember in that chapter, I can't remember the specific verse, but interesting thing that Lord Chaitanya says in that chapter, he says, one fruit of devotional service is worth more than all the wealth in the three worlds. That reminds me of a quote that says, you will never invite a thief into your house. So why would you allow thoughts that steal your joy to make themselves at home in your mind? And then many thoughts that steal our joy, like envy, greed, vengeance. So my question is actually related to the point you were making about when the Christian group came here. My brother had a similar experience, or slightly different. When the Christian group came here and he was the speaker, they actually asked him, what do you do for fun? Now, my brother reads the Bhagavatam for 5 hours for fun. Because he used to read chess books all the time, so it was kind of natural for him. Now, if we told people we're here to make money, you know, not material money, but spiritual money, and that's come through, you know, studying, like you said, education, that's not very appealing because it's not arousing to our senses. So how to develop faith in things that are not arousing to our senses?
Well, honest people, when we say there are a lot of honest people in the world today, they're getting burnt out. They don't have many recourses anymore. They're trying different things. People are looking for spirituality, but they're rejecting religion. Shiva Ram Maharaj gives a nice explanation of the difference between organized religion and spirituality. It's quite different when you actually analyze what are the components that make up each. And people are looking for spirituality. So we got that because we're not a religion. We're a spiritual culture that is teaching people what is their real identity. We're not talking about Hinduism or this ism or that ism. That is not our program. It's about understanding yourself as a spiritual being and then bringing that awareness to your in your life. That's all. And what is it centered around? Glorifying the Lord by chanting his holy name. and that holy name can be in any of the religious traditions like that. You know, we're not about just jamming rules and regulations on people. Just chant Hare Krishna. Take some prasadam, read some books. You know, take, you know, this is our process like that. And you'll start to experience a difference in your life. There's two questions back there behind you. Excuse me, I'm going to push it a little.
Okay. I really appreciated what you said about communism, the hypocrisy, because one of their tenets or statements is repression breeds resistance.
Yeah.
And look what they're doing. You know, and I want to also say I enjoyed what you said about some of the other things you were talking about worldliness and money and all of all your points were right on.
When you do a little investigation, you'll find more. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for this thought-provoking and practical class. I always enjoy it when you can apply some of the philosophy to our everyday lives, if you will. Mm-hmm. I happen to be, we are all in, most of us are grihasthas in this congregation. And
IT?
No, sales of vitamins, actually. And monks.
Salesman,
huh? Yeah. So I'm a sales leader. I'm a vice president of sales. And it's quite interesting because I get to influence culture and the way we could do business. And you're absolutely right. There is greed plays a huge role. But what my experience has been, that humbleness, truthfulness, trust are the hallmarks of success, and even in the material world. And when you can create a team that and a company that embodies those characteristics, material success
yeah.
is even easier. So, although I agree with you that the world is full of
junk. Yeah,
and.
Just look at the highways. They have these big storehouses now.
Right.
You can rent one for so much more money. It's after you spend our money collecting your junk, then you rent the place
right.
to store your junk.
Yeah. And so I guess my point is we do have to live in this material world, and the hope is that if we take these concrete principles of what we're learning from Prabhupada's mission, they can be applied, and yeah. you can be in the world and still hold on to your principles and be successful. So I would argue humbly that humbleness is a strength, and if you may walk into a certain organization and that may be seen as a weakness, but if that humbleness grows and germinates within an organization, it's very powerful. And
so what is the nature of that humbleness? What is it directed towards?
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
If your true intention, whenever you sell anything, if your true intention is to provide a service that is useful and beneficial, and you're not trying to just sell junk, as you had mentioned,
then you can take a salary cut and you'll still be happy, right? Because humility is your motivation, not the salary.
Maybe I'm not making my point very well. My point is this.
Is nobody works without getting some...
Sure, you have to have necessities, right?
Yeah, but up to
even
what point?
Spiritually, we're...
Up to what point is it necessity and what is it beyond that?
I'm not sure where... my point is this, that... Humbleness, truthfulness, even spirituality, if applied properly.
You can try to bring in some kind of piety within the business world.
Right.
But the whole business world is competitive and is based on cheating. That's all, the whole thing.
Well, yeah, but we have to look, Prabhupada, I believe, mentioned that, we live in a material world. So we have to have the skill set of a material. So I
believe. I'm not saying you should stop your work, but if you want to really purify your activities, whatever profits you make, take a portion of that and give that to support religious principles.
Agreed.
Then you can take that extra, and it's called karma yoga. It means you have a particular desire to act in a certain way, and then the results of that, and you offer part of that results to devotion to Krishna, and that relieves you from the reaction of what we say accumulating or becoming greedy simply for, you know, material gain.
That's 100% agreed.
Yeah, that's part of bhakti yoga.
It's 100% agreed.
Yeah.
And so my comment was to support the fact that there is all this greediness and that humbleness is, you know, competition is viewed as how you succeed and things like that. But in the inverse, in a world full of that, truthfulness, steadfastness, spirituality, and humbleness also resonate because people are yearning for that. So you can be successful with your principles.
Yeah,
that was my point.
Okay,
thank you very much.
You can be a nice guy, but it'll be challenged. He'll be challenged. Just like Sureshwar said, if you're too honest, you don't get the job. There's a particular scripture, maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Manusmita. Heard of Manusmita? It's called the Law Books of Mankind. It's from the Vedas. And Manusmita talks about all aspects of life, and it talks about business also. And Manusmita gives a formula for acting within the business realm in terms of profit. Manusmita says you're not allowed to make more than 25% profit. And you can live on that profit, and whatever else you make, you put back in for the services for others. That's all. If you make more, now they're making, what, 100%, 200%, 500% profit. And the more you can go up, the more you're successful in the business world like that. So it's really about bringing about a culture of buying. It's about a culture of buying. And the Shastras say, Ishavasham idam sarvam, yat kinchat dam tigat. Live according to your needs. If you live beyond that, you'll have to suffer. Because this is from Sri Upanishads, which is one of the main, which is the Vedas themselves. The Upanishads are not the corollaries, they're the actual Vedas. That we live according to our needs. If you live beyond that, then whatever else you make, give it to Krishna. Everyone wants to live, you know, more houses, more cars, more computers, more clothes, more places to go, more. The idea is more. I see it everywhere. Oh, if you're devotees, you have some spiritual qualities. Yeah, I agree. We are going to corporates. I've been to many corporations and given lectures. Radhana Swami has gone to Google. He's gone to Apple. He's gone to so many major corporations and spoken about the principles that make up, what would he say, the mode of goodness that will lead people to spiritual principles. It's a stepping stone program. So you can do that. Yeah, and you should do that in your job. Like, I don't know, you've heard of Ernest Young, that corporation? I've been there at least two or three times in London. And we have some big persons who are of the Indian nationality, and so we arrange programs, and we get some of the, you know, workers to come, and we talk about Krishna conscious principles. Hey, that's honesty, that's humility, that's giving people a chance to see beyond the day-to-day life of simply trying to make money to maintain themselves like that. That's necessary. So I'm not challenging what you do, but you're going to have to interject something to make it
you know, somewhat of the mode of goodness and somewhat spiritual. It has to come from the individuals who are there. It's not going to come from the corporate executives. They have their programs to make, expand their, you know, their corporations more and more and more. It's about, because material life means expand, expand, expand. Keep going. If you don't expand, you go down. Prabhupada was a businessman before he came to Krishna consciousness. And he was a good businessman. He actually had the chance to become as rich as Bila. And he said he had that, he was told by an astrologer, if he stayed in his, that, he would be one of the richest men in India. So he knew what business is like. It's not like he was ignorant of that. But you have to understand there's a limit on what, how much on us, on what we do as an individual. We have to say, hey, that's it. I have to have time for Krishna consciousness. It's not about making money all the time. Give him the microphone. Yeah.
I think my point is more attuned to the fact that the qualities, the spiritual qualities that we gain through this movement are, can be transferred.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it's not about how much more money I can make with those qualities. It's the fact that people are yearning for that, those qualities in a person, in corporations.
Yeah, yeah.
And so instead of shying away, you can actually preach in a different way, as I think you mentioned. Yeah, there's different forms of preaching.
We do that.
And you can preach through your example and at the same time be successful in that material world, because at the core fundamental level, which you were saying a little earlier, people searching for that spirituality.
Yeah, they are.
And so when they see you perform through your actions in a business setting with core fundamentals of truthfulness and trust, they're intrigued, and that actually is my experience.
Can you do it?
Absolutely, I can do it.
You're not challenged?
I do it every single day. Mm-hmm. And I do
challenged?
And I've created an organization that does it.
Okay, there you
okay?
go.
Okay, and so the point is,
hire some devotees.
I'd love to. No, my point is, this is very practical, and instead of hopelessness, it actually is the fact that it's practical.
Oh, what you're saying is what we want. We want to spread spiritual life through various agencies of the material world. It's not all about living in temples and just chanting Hare Krishna. It's reaching all aspects of life. Yeah. Business is a big part of it. Yeah. Okay, thank you. But good luck. If you can do it, you know, that's great. Yeah, bring more devotees in. Okay, so we, Leela Manjari, yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you were talking about the importance of nurturing devotees after they come. So I was thinking, like, it feels as if it's one segment of their journey until the point of initiation. But what after initiation? How do we nourish devotees after initiation?
We give them opportunities for nourishment by having programs. You know, once they're initiated, they understand the principles. They're working under the guidance of their spiritual master. Now we can give them more and more opportunities to strengthen their Krishna consciousness through various types of seminars, discussions. And we inspire them to be creative in their own Krishna consciousness, where they can think of ways how to expand their service in different ways. Whatever service you've been doing, if you think, how can I do it better or how can I do it more, and then you start to activate some ideas. And there's so many ideas out there which you can also use to help them. So we want to engage people in a way that they can be creative in their own service. Even if you're a floor cleaner, you can always think how to do it better. Every service can be expanded more and more if you have that mood, I want to do it better, like that. Whatever you're doing, whatever it is, do it better, or try to do it better, like that. If you're thinking, I just got to get it done, then that's what will happen. You'll get it done. But you won't stay inspired. Inspiration comes with the idea of creativity, trying to think how to expand whatever you're doing. Expansion comes in two forms. It comes in quantity, or it comes in quality. Expansion comes in quantity by thinking how to do more, and quality by thinking how to do better. What's more important? Both are important, but quality is really more about expansion. Try to do whatever you're doing better. Try to do it better, that's all. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Come today at 11 o'clock, is it? 11 o'clock here for session number 2 of Founder Acharya by Sureshwar Prabhu.